In our continued study in 1 Timothy, we come to verse 17, 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. Now, in the dynamics of a church, there are the pastor or pastors, and then there are the people. And for a church to be spiritually healthy, both pastor and people must fulfill their roles. They must follow biblical guidelines that God has for pastors and God has for people. Now, we have seen the instruction, this guidance that God has for pastors in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And now here in chapter 5, Paul marks out the role, the responsibility of the people of the church. So for our study tonight, I want us to focus on the honor a church is to show to its pastor. And please know this is not a self-serving message, okay? It happens to be the next portion of scripture that we need to look at in our study of 1 Timothy, particularly chapter 5. I think it's a message that all of us, because all scripture is profitable, and we'll talk about maybe at the end why this is needful. But why it's necessary for a church to give appropriate honor to its pastors. Well, the honor a church is to show to its pastor is spelled out in verses 17 and 18 of 1 Timothy 5. It says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn." And then it closes with a statement actually from our Lord, "The laborer is worthy of his reward." Now the term elders is really a general term referring to those who are also called bishops, pastors. So when you're talking about a pastor, you're talking about an elder, you're talking about a bishop or an overseer, you're always talking about the same person. You don't have bishops and elders and pastors. You have a pastor who is an elder, who is an overseer or a bishop. And so while the term pastor emphasizes his shepherding function, and the title bishop or overseer relates to his leadership function, the designation elder refers to a pastor's spiritual function. Now, the word honor refers to respect or regard, and it can also pertain to financial support. And this usage is similar to the English word honorarium, which refers to money given to someone to honor him. Oftentimes when I do a wedding or a funeral, or maybe I go somewhere and speak, they gave me an honorarium. That's a blessing when an elder is honored in such a way. And we see this favor in how the church at Philippi honored Paul. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, let me read beginning with verse 14. "Notwithstanding, ye have well done," he's talking to the Philippian church, "that ye did communicate with my affliction. You helped me when I had some troubles, when I had some trials. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound or be added to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Because the Philippians were faithful to honor Paul, Paul could say in verse 19, he could promise them that "my God shall supply all your need according to his riches of glory by Christ Jesus." Oftentimes we quote that verse saying, well, God's going to take care of me, but what is the condition for God taking care of you, God taking financially care of me? What's the condition? Is that just a random verse that any person can claim? What's the condition? You're willing to give, you're willing to sacrifice, you're willing to provide for the needs that the ministry, i.e. maybe the pastor, has. And God sees that, and God says, you take care of God's servants, I take care of you. It's as simple as that. While all true elders are to be honored, Paul singles out those who are to receive double or are worthy of double honor. I guess we can say Paul is making a distinction between pastors who generally serve and those who go above and beyond the call of duty. In other words, they serve with fervor, they serve with passion, they serve with excellence. And so again, Paul is saying here, such ministers of the gospel are worthy of greater acknowledgement from the church they serve. And this means not necessarily double pay, but an ample, generous salary along with appropriate appreciation, regard, and esteem. Simply put, the church is truly encouraging its pastors. Then Paul gives two specific qualifications that identify elders, pastors, who are worthy of this double honor. And they are those who first of all rule. Notice, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. What does that word rule mean? Well, it means to administrate, how you lead the church. And when you do it well, and well can be translated by the word excellence, then a pastor is to receive this special honor. And so a pastor, an elder who leads God's people well, he has a caring heart, he faithfully discharges his responsibility as he oversees, as he shepherds the flock, Paul is saying, is to be especially honored. And this shepherding certainly involves the second qualification for double honor, which is those who labor, who work unusually hard. That's what the Greek word means there. They work hard in the word and in doctrine. And here we find pastors who work to the point of fatigue and exhaustion in their preparation to preach and teach the word of God, to preach and teach the whole counsel of God. And Paul says they are to be duly honored. Now, let me just say, the main responsibility I have as a pastor is to prepare messages for when you come, you'll receive something tangible from God's word. Peter says, feed the flock of God. And those of you who are pastors or have been pastors know that writing sermons, preparing messages, done right, takes time. It takes effort. It takes mental sweat. It takes, for me, it takes help. I should have done this a long time ago, but I appreciate my wife. I write out the message, and she types it. And then I go back over it, and I say, well, does this read right? Does this make sense? Does this sound right? I mean, if I was out there listening and I made this statement, would it make sense? You know, does it register? Does it mean something? Does it say something? And so I'll make corrections, I'll edit, she'll type it again. And sometimes she does it three or four times. But she typed this one. Honestly, if you could see, I've made even more corrections or more changes. Honestly, I'm editing a message right up and almost to the point of when I preach it. It takes work. It takes effort. You're sitting there, I'm standing here. So I'm honestly, unless you communicate to me, I don't always know if it comes across. But I can promise you, a pastor who works hard to prepare messages, puts his heart into it, prays over it, I really believe we'll say something that's needful and helpful. It's not just superficial. If I was teaching a class on homiletics, how to preach, I would encourage all young men to manuscript their messages, not just wing it or just have a few notes. I think when you start to, and this is just me, But I believe you can say, with the time you have, you can say so much more and say it in a way that's hopefully precise and understandable. And it's taken me 40 years to get here, and I certainly haven't arrived. But I think I've learned a few things, or some things along the way, that hopefully are helpful in communicating the truth. The pastor who's faithful, who puts the time and the effort into it, Paul says, is to be honored. And I love, honestly, when we have special speakers here, evangelists, missionaries, and I can tell they have done their homework. It's not just a message that has been brushed off and the dust has been blown off. And we don't have people like that. But that ministers to my heart. And that's what we need. That's what we need. The Greek word logos, they who labor in the word and doctrine, literally means a speech. And as the pastor proclaims, as he preaches the truth, really you could substitute the word preaching for the word here, who labor in the preaching and then doctrine, the teaching of the word. And so as the pastor proclaims, as he preaches the truth of God's word, he exhorts, he admonishes. And the word doctrine, as I just said, or teaching, emphasizes the idea of instruction more than proclamation. Preaching is proclaiming the truth. Teaching is instruction, the instruction that comes in the proclamation of the truth. And so as one author states, preaching calls for a heart response to God, while teaching is a necessary bulwark against heresy. And so the lesson here is elders who truly pastor their flock by leading them to that path of life found in Christ through word, preaching, teaching, through deed, being a proper overseer are truly worthy of honor. And then Paul reinforces his point by referencing quotes in verse 18 from both the Old and New Testaments. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. This Old Testament law comes from Deuteronomy 25, verse 4, which declared that the oxen who thrashed the grain were entitled to eat the grain. They were not to muzzle, they were not to prevent the oxen from eating the grain they were working. And since God required that the animals who labored to provide food for others were to be fed, how much more would he want faithful pastors who feed God's hungry flock to be provided for as well? And then the second quote, this one from the New Testament, Luke chapter 10, verse 7, is Christ's own words, which is the labor is worthy of his reward. And so again, to refuse to support those who provide spiritual food is as wrong as muzzling an animal or refusing to pay an hired man. And so the elders, the pastors who are faithful to lead and to feed God's people are to be respected. They are to be remunerated by those who are being blessed. This is God's way. This is a biblical obligation of the church. Now, pastors who are faithful to God's word will never be honored or praised by the world, by the elite, by the progressives. They won't get their pat on the back from a world that stands diametrically opposed to the gospel. But God has purposed that these men be honored for their spiritual oversight by the churches they serve. And I pray, and I ask you to pray that I can be, that Pastor Beck can be that kind of pastor.